chapter this morning. If you're using one of the Bibles in the pew, you will find John chapter 6, verse 22 on page 891. And if you do not own a Bible, we would love for you to accept that Bible in the pew as a gift from Bethany Baptist Church to you this morning. 2021 is now behind us, and 2022 stretches before us. At the closing of one year and the opening of another year, it's a good time for us to take inventory of our lives, as our brother Jeff alluded to as he sang for us this morning, to look back and to reflect on where our focus has been, to look forward and think on where our focus will be. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we ought to think along the lines of what the Apostle Paul wrote at the end of his life when he said, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." As we look back, we will surely see some defeats we have suffered in the good fight, some moments when we have stumbled in the race because we have not kept our focus fixed properly. But we will also, by God's grace, see some victories we have gained in the fight, and we will see some distance that we have covered in that marathon of the faith because we were keeping our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And looking ahead, we would resolve that we will keep fighting the good fight, and we will keep running the marathon, and we will keep the faith. There is no more excellent resolution to make at the beginning of a new year than that which we sing in a hymn sometimes. It says, "I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten, hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee." This text we read today strengthens us for that resolution. As we hear Jesus declare, "I am the bread of life, the one who satisfies and sustains to eternity." Give your full attention to the reading of God's word, beginning with verse 22. "On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal.' Then they said to him, 'What must we do to be doing the works of God?' Jesus answered them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.' So they said to him, 'Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?' 'Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Jesus then said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' They said to him, 'Sir, give us this bread always.' Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for this, your word. We thank you for the privilege of reading it, of hearing the report of when the one and only Savior, your Son, the Lord of lords and King of kings, declared, "I am the bread of heaven, and whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Spirit of God, we pray that you would bless this weak preacher with a strong word from the eternal word, that we might hear Jesus, come to him, feast on him by faith. We might be strengthened to glorify you, the one true God, in the salvation that you have provided for us only in Christ. And it's in his name we ask these things. Amen. We need to have a grip on the context of these verses. So let's begin there. The beginning of chapter 6, Jesus and his disciples traveled to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd followed them. It was the time of the Passover. It was drawing near, and there on the hills overlooking the sea, Jesus performed a miracle. He fed thousands of people with 5 barley cakes and 2 fish. And then afterward, he instructed his disciples to gather what was left over into baskets. And there were 12 baskets of leftovers. And when the people saw this, they wanted to take Jesus by force and make him their king. But Jesus withdrew by himself into the hills. That evening, Jesus' disciples got into a boat there on the shore, and they set out to cross over the sea. And a violent storm came upon them, and they were rowing against the wind and the waves. And Jesus came walking to them out on the raging waters. And they were terrified when they saw him. I can understand that. Man walking on a raging sea. But Jesus spoke to them, and he said, "It is I." More literally, he said, "I am. Do not be afraid." And when the disciples heard that, they were glad, and they took Jesus into the boat. And the Bible tells us here in chapter 6 that immediately they were at the other side, at the place to which they were going. So that's what's taken place in chapter 6 up to the point of our text today. Now a new day has dawned. Yesterday, Jesus fed thousands of people with a sack lunch after he had given thanks for it. The last night, Jesus had walked on raging waters halfway across the sea and then taken his disciples to safe haven. Now a new day has dawned, tomorrow has come, and the scene opens back over on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee where the crowd was gathered there. They had seen that there was only one boat there the day before, and they had seen Jesus' disciples get in that boat and set out across the sea, but they didn't see where Jesus had gone. And they were gathered there, John tells us, at the place where they had eaten bread after the Lord had given thanks. That word bread shows up several times in this passage we just read. Bread is a significant word in this text. You know, across centuries, across cultures, bread is a source of sustenance, right? Of well-being. I mean, bread in some form is a staple in the diet of people from many different cultures. In the Jewish culture, bread was simply synonymous with food. Daily bread meant your daily provision of food. Bread satisfies hunger, at least for a time. Bread sustains life, at least for a time. And so John calls our minds to this word bread as he alludes to these boats from Tiberias, which were over on the western side of the sea, and they had come to the eastern side of the sea, as he mentions these boats that had come near to where the crowds had eaten bread after the Lord had given thanks. And they saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, and so the people, the crowds, they got into these boats, and they went back on the boats, crossed the sea to the western side, to Capernaum, and that's where they found Jesus there. And they asked him a question. They said, "Rabbi, when did you come here? We saw your disciples leave, but we didn't see where you went. We couldn't find you anywhere. Now we come over here, we find you here. When did you come here?" They were seeking Jesus. And Jesus answered their question. And in his answer, we find the first lesson of this text. And this is what I would call a preliminary lesson, although we're going to spend most of our time on this lesson this morning. Jesus exposed the folly of a focus on bread that does not last. Jesus exposed the crowd's unbelief. He revealed that their sole desire was for bread that does not last, for bread that ultimately will not endure in satisfying their hunger. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly." Now that introduction was meant to grab their attention and ours. Jesus is saying, "Listen closely, because I'm about to speak to you the reality of the matter at hand. Truly, truly," he said. So maybe the crowds now, they're on the edge of their seat, so to speak, to listen, to hear what Jesus is about to say. And think about what he could have said in answer to their question. They ask him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" I mean, Jesus could have said, "Well, last night I walked halfway across the raging sea, stepped into the boat with my disciples, and in an instant took them here to the western side." Maybe that would have dazzled the crowd if Jesus had said that. Perhaps they would have been as amazed about that as they had been about him taking 5 barley cakes and 2 fish and blessing them and saying thanks and then feeding 15,000 or more people. But Jesus knew their hearts. Jesus knew that they were missing his identity and his purpose altogether. They did not see their greatest need, nor his sufficiency alone to meet that need. And so that's precisely what Jesus addressed. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." They saw Jesus feed thousands of people with a sack lunch, but they missed what that miracle signified. They sought Jesus not because they had come to believe in him, but because they had had their bellies filled for a while. And that's the thing about the bread of the earth. It doesn't last. I mean, it might satisfy for a time, but then eventually the people were going to get hungry again. And perhaps they already were. And so they were seeking Jesus. You can look at me and see that I'm not a big guy. When I was a teenager, I was always on the small side of the spectrum. But that doesn't mean that my appetite was on the small side. In fact, I could really put the food away. I had an uncle who gave me a nickname. His nickname for me was Wormy, because he said with as much food as I could eat, I had to have some giant tapeworm down in my stomach in order to put all of that food away. My mother said that it was like I was a bottomless pit. But isn't that what the stomach's like? I mean, think about it. You put food in, right? It fills the stomach for a little while, but it doesn't last. The satisfaction is only temporary. Jesus said, do not labor for food that perishes. He's not saying that one should not work to provide for himself and for his family, and we find that Scripture commands us to do that very thing. In the third chapter of 2 Thessalonians, God inspired Paul to write it, if a person is not willing to work, let him not eat. And we are commanded to do our work quietly and to earn our own living, to eat our own food. Now, the Bible nowhere contradicts itself. So Jesus is not saying that we should not work to provide for ourselves. Jesus is simply saying, do not be consumed by a hunger for that which does not last. Do not look to the temporary to bring eternal satisfaction, enduring satisfaction. It just won't happen. It's folly to focus your efforts, your work on food that does not endure. That's because it's futile. It won't last. It won't bring lasting satisfaction for you. And this bottomless pit metaphor, it's not just about our stomachs. We can find ourselves hungering after many earthly things. Money, possessions, status. I mean, how many people these days are hungry and hungry for more and more Twitter followers, Facebook followers, Instagram follow, whatever. We can find ourselves hungering after many earthly things. We can be consumed by a hunger for stuff, but all of it will perish. None of it will ultimately satisfy. So Jesus says, don't focus there. Don't labor for the food that perishes. Set your focus on that which is eternal. And this is what he says then. He says, the Son of Man will give you food that endures to eternal life. I mean, the people had seen Jesus give thanks for two loaves and two fish and then fill the bellies of thousands of people. But that sign was not given just to point to Jesus' ability to provide physical food for them. The sign was given to point them to a much deeper need that they had. The point is proven there when Jesus told his disciples to collect what was left over. And they collected 12 baskets, right? Why? He told them that to collect what was left over so that it would not be lost. The food that Jesus, the physical, natural food Jesus provided would not endure. That's why the crowd was seeking him, because they were hungry again, right? But Jesus said, that's not the point of what I did yesterday. What I did was pointing you to the fact that I must give to you a food that does endure to eternal life. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, is the only source of this eternal life food. You can have it, but only from Jesus. The people are not finished questioning, and Jesus is not finished revealing. The people seem to understand that Jesus is talking about deeper spiritual matters, that it's not really all about the fish and the bread that they ate yesterday. They're starting to grasp that he's talking about something deeper than this. And so they ask the question. They said, what must we do to be doing the works of God? That's further evidence of their unbelief. That question is perhaps the most widespread evidence of unbelief in the human race then and now. What must we do to appease God? That question flows from a false presupposition. And that presupposition is that we can actually do something to appease the God against whom we have sinned. That presupposition is that we have it within ourselves to satisfy His justice and earn His forgiveness and His favor. It is a deadly false presupposition that leads people directly to an eternal hell. What must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered simply, "This is the work of God. You believe in Him whom He has sent." This is the work of God. Believe in Jesus. Now, this belief is not mere intellectual assent. Later in this chapter, we're not going to be able to read all of this chapter today, but later in this chapter, Jesus is going to he's going to show a little more clearly about what it looks like to believe on Him when He says, "You must eat My flesh and drink My blood." And the people were like, "Whoa, this is too much." And most of them left. What does it mean to believe? You know, I mean, you can come and tell me that food will nourish my body. Just my knowing that food will nourish my body is not enough for me. I must eat it for it to nourish my body. I must, when it comes to Jesus, it's not enough to know that He is the bread of heaven, the bread of life. We must eat Him. We must put our faith in Him. This belief is an acknowledgement of who He is, so that, listen, that it surrenders your life to His lordship. And it relies completely on His great salvation. It is to believe in Him whom God has sent, the one on whom God the Father has set His seal. This belief in Jesus, it produces the fruit of repentance in the believer's life. This is the work of God performed in the life of the believer. Jesus said, "This is the work of God. Believe in Him whom He has sent." The people continue with yet another question. They ask, "Then what sign do you do so that we might see and believe you? What work do you perform?" That's an astounding question if you think about it. I mean, the day before, they had seen Jesus take 5 barley cakes and 2 fish and give thanks for them and then fed over 15,000 people. Perhaps because it was, you know, close to Passover time, they alluded to Moses. And they said, "Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness back in those days when the Passover was first instituted. You know, as it is written, He gave them food from heaven to eat," or bread from heaven to eat. This crowd had seen that miracle the day before when Jesus fed them all with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And on that day, if we look back, you know what they said? They said, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." By the way, that's the prophet Moses wrote of. And so they're saying, "Surely this is the coming prophet Moses wrote of." That's what they said yesterday, but today they're hungry again. And so they said, "Hey, Moses gave us manna, that Moses gave our fathers manna in the wilderness. What you got for us?" I guess the feeding of the thousands the day before was just not enough. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly," again, listen closely, He says, this is the reality of the matter at hand. "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but My Father gives you bread from heaven." So that Jesus showed that they were making 2 wrong assumptions. That first, they were attributing something to Moses that God had actually done. God had graciously provided manna for their fathers in the wilderness. It was not Moses's to give. But secondly, God had provided that manna in the wilderness so long ago to point forward to something far greater, the true bread from heaven. Moses is the one who wrote of it. We know about the manna in the wilderness because Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. And earlier in this gospel, Jesus said, "If you believe Moses, you'll believe Me because Moses wrote of Me." And Jesus told the crowd that he, the Son of Man, will give them food that endures to eternal life. The day before, he fed that multitude, and he pointed to his ability to provide. And now Jesus is making clear the nature of his provision. That to which the manna so long ago and the five loaves and the two fish yesterday pointed to. He says, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." God gave the people manna in the wilderness so long ago to point forward to something much greater, to the true bread that would come down from heaven and give life to the world. We just celebrated his humble birth during the Christmas season. The bread, the food that endures to eternal life, you can have it, but only from Jesus. The bread, the food that endures to eternal life that Jesus provides is himself. He is the bread of heaven. But still the people did not get it. Why? Because their focus was on their stomachs. They said, "Sir, give us this bread. Always." They were consumed by a hunger for that which is temporary, that which only satisfies for a little while, that which does not last. If your life is wrapped up in a focus on obtaining the bread of this earth, you will always end up empty, eventually. If you are running a race that is charmed by the world's delights, your life will be wasted in the end, with no satisfaction of rest. There will always be this hunger for one more toy, for one more follower, for one more hundreds or one more thousands or one more hundred thousands in the account, for one more promotion, for one more vacation, for one more this, for one more that. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. It is folly. This focus on bread that does not last. Jesus continues in the rest of our passage from verses 35 through 40. And in his words there, we find lesson number two of our text, which is the primary lesson. Jesus alone is the bread of life that satisfies and sustains. Into the face of this crowd's unbelief, Jesus continues to clarify his miracle of feeding thousands with five loaves and two fish. The miracle was not simply given to point to his ability to provide. The miracle was given to point to Jesus as the provision. Because whereas the earthly bread, even that Jesus provided for them, where the earthly bread perishes, the bread of heaven alone endures. The bread of heaven alone satisfies, and satisfies to the uttermost. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." The people did not see their greatest need, nor the sufficiency of Jesus to meet it. But how about you? How about me? How about us? Do we see it? There is a God-sized void in each and every one of us that only God can fill. And God has sent his Son to accomplish that filling. And fill it, Jesus will, for all who come to him and who believe on him. We can try to fill it with all sorts of things that this world has to offer. But they cannot and they will not suffice. Those things will not fill the void. We can stuff as much stuff into it as we can, but the void remains. Only God can fill it. and he sent his son to do so. We come to Jesus, who is the bread of life. We believe on Jesus, who is the bread of life, and Jesus fills it to the uttermost. As he says, whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. When you have Jesus, you can really say, my cup overflows. He is the bread that satisfies. You have seen me, Jesus said, and yet you do not believe. How about you? Have you tasted and seen that Jesus is good? Have you fed by faith on the one who says, I am the bread of life, who alone can quench your deepest thirst and satisfy your deepest hunger? Have you fed by faith on him? If not, why not do so today? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Take Jesus at his word. Come to him. Believe on him. He is the bread of life who alone satisfies our deepest need. And for those of us who are believing on Christ, brothers and sisters, let's not turn from wisdom back to folly and start focusing and wrapping our lives up in this pursuit over for bread that does not last when we have truly tasted the satisfying goodness of Jesus. No, let us be resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. Jesus is greatest. Jesus is highest. He has allured our sight. Right? Right? It's how we're going to fight the good fight and run the race and keep the faith, to remember that our Jesus satisfies us to the uttermost. He's not only the bread that satisfies, he's the bread that sustains and to all eternity. He is the food that endures to eternal life. He is the bread that lasts. He never loses his freshness. You know, when I go buy bread in the store, I pay attention to what brand I buy. Because some bread, they got the seal, you know, they got their seal there on the outside package. And I found that some bread is not real fresh. You know, kind of hard. So I pay attention to what brand of bread I buy. I look at the seal. God the Father has set his seal on Jesus. He is the bread that's always fresh. He is the bread, the food that endures to eternal life. Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. That is a glorious statement. Believer, the bread of heaven, the bread of life that you have received will sustain you to all eternity. Because if you have come to Jesus, if you have believed on Jesus, it's because the Father has given you to the Son. And whoever comes to the Son, Jesus, he will never cast out. What a glorious statement that is. I mean, we just celebrated Christmas, which is a celebration of the bread of heaven coming down from heaven to earth in order to accomplish the will of his Father, to in perfect obedience do all that the Father had given him to do. And Jesus says in this text that this is what the will of his Father is. In verse 39, that Jesus should lose nothing of all that the Father has given him, and he will raise it up on the last day. And again, verse 40, Jesus says, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Just as when Jesus stepped into the boat with the disciples and he took them to safe haven, in the same way, we who have called upon Jesus by faith, he will carry all the way through to safe haven. In fact, our lives are right now hidden with Christ in God. Look at what he says. He will raise up all that the Father has given him. He will raise up all who have looked upon him and believed. He is the bread of heaven that satisfies and sustains to all eternity. Oh, my soul praises God for these wonderful truths. My soul praises God for the only hope that I have to keep on fighting the good fight and running the race and finishing the course that before me. Keeping the faith. My soul praises God for what I hear in this passage. Because if you have believed on Jesus, what this passage is telling you is that God the Father has given you to His beloved, God the Son. And God the Son came to accomplish the will of the Father, which is your eternal salvation. So in order for you to be lost, if you have truly fed by faith on Jesus, in order for you to be lost, the Father would have to renege on His gift to His beloved Son. And Jesus, the Son, would have to disobey the will of the Father. You are kept, child of God. And nothing can take you out of the hand of the Father or of the Son. Jesus is the bread of life who sustains to all eternity. On this first Sunday of the month and this first Sunday of the year, we are observing the ordinance of the Lord's Supper that our Lord gave to His church, to those who have believed upon Him, professed that belief by obeying His command to be baptized in His name. We closed last year observing the ordinance of baptism. In baptism, we said that the believer says, confesses, professes, I belong to Jesus. That's what baptism is. And in baptism, the church agrees, you belong to Jesus and to us, His body. In the Lord's Supper, the church together, the assembly of the believers in Jesus Christ, baptized in His name, proclaim together, we belong to Jesus. And to one another, His body. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. The Lord's Supper is the symbol and sign that we are keeping the faith in Jesus, the bread of life. And the Lord's Supper is the meal by which the Holy Spirit of Christ feeds our faith and strengthens us to fight the good fight and run the race. We eat of the bread and we drink of the cup, proclaiming our faith in the bread of life, who satisfies us and who sustains us. I'm going to ask the deacons, if you will, to come forward. If you're visiting with us, we would want you to know that as we observe this ordinance, you are welcome to observe it with us, to obey this command, provided that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you have obeyed His command to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We invite you to eat of the bread and drink of the cup with us. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You for the truths that we have heard this day from Your Word. Spirit of God, we thank You for inspiring the written Word that enables us to hear the living Word, the bread of life, who came down from heaven so that we might have eternal life. Lord Jesus, we thank You that all that we read this morning about Your provision was completed and finalized when You went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. That You, the bread of life, would taste death for us and rise triumphant, that we might stand justified before a holy God, be reconciled to Him, so that we might be sanctified by the saving grace of God and one day be glorified in the presence of God. All of this purchased at the cross, that bloody tree on a hill outside of Jerusalem. It is Your death that we proclaim, Lord Jesus, as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, and we do so with thanksgiving and praise unto You. You are satisfyingly good. And you are mighty to sustain. We pray that you would be glorified as your church obeys. And that, Spirit of God, you would feed our faith, that we might continue to fight the good fight, run the race, and keep the faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen.